Copper Shores Community Health Foundation is proud to introduce you to Do Good Volunteer of the Month, Dave Saunders. Dave helps set up for the Meals on Wheels congregate site in Chassel every Monday and Wednesday. No matter the weather, Dave is there to make coffee and set the tables. He is a bright ray of sunshine and always has a smile on his face. Meals on Wheels so appreciates his dedication and commitment, as do the seniors that attend each week. If you know an incredible volunteer like Dave, go to DoGoodCC.org and nominate them to be recognized as the next Do Good in the Copper Country Volunteer of the Month.
Welcome back to segment two of Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke, our program brought to you by the Copper Shores Community Health Foundation. Learn more about them and their mission at coppershores.org. It has been really wonderful to see activity again at the Calumet Theater. Of course, the pandemic got things closed off for them. Then there were some issues in terms of, this, that, and the other thing. But it has been a very busy place this summer. We're coming off a really successful show with Pam Tillis a week ago yesterday, last Saturday night, and almost a sellout there. And I thought, let's take a look at what's going on with the theater and what's coming up at the theater with Executive Director Jay Mackey. Jay, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Todd.
The Pam Tillis show went really, really well. You've had some other big successful shows over the summer, too, haven't you?
We have. In addition to Pam Tillis, of course, we had the Glenn Miller Orchestra, and that show did quite well. You know, we're hitting some numbers we haven't hit in a few years for shows here, and that's a good thing. It means people are getting a little more faith back in the theater, and they're paying attention to what is going on there, as well as maybe just putting it in their minds that, hey, we want something to do this weekend. I wonder where that could be. And the theater pops into their head, so they're checking out what we have.
And I think, too, we're probably getting a little bit now far enough past the COVID situation that people are a little less skittish about going out and about and being in a crowd.
Exactly. Everybody seems to be having a really good time. We've been picking up last year. We started doing a couple of things. You know, we have our dinner and a movie, but we also started socials and movies. And that seemed to be kind of a popular thing to do, so we've included that this year with either a social or a happy hour before shows. And people are coming in and hanging out with their neighbors, you know, sitting around and having a drink or just visiting. Gives them a little chance to browse some of the ballroom things that we have as well, the displays for our antique projector and the movie histories and just the pictures of some of the greats that have played at the theater over the years. And just to make it a whole big evening experience, more than just a show.
I love looking at that wall in the ballroom. I did those old ads that are up there. Because I'm an old band geek, I love the one about John Philip Sousa and the several appearances that the Sousa band played. There's even an ad up there that has the program on it of what they played. I've always wanted to reproduce that. I've always wanted to get like the Tech Concert Band or something like that up there and reproduce the program that John Philip Sousa played at the Calumet Theater. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, there is some great stuff. And over the years, we do have things that are stored in our archives. And we're very appreciative when people go through. Of course, most of us live in houses that are 100 years old around here. And sometimes we haven't looked in the deep recesses of our attics in a long, long time. And then when we do, we find things like that. And we have people that come in and say, hey, look what I found. Just within the last year, we had someone come in with a big folder for me. And it said, poor Jay at the theater. And it came in and it's like, well, what the heck is this? Well, it happened to be all of the sketches that the artist had done when they did the fundraising project and had the murals on the proscenium arch redone 25 years ago.
Oh, my.
And so we got some of their original sketches and that sort of thing. We had some of a small piece of one of the original paintings that was up on the wall that they did them from. And, you know, this was just something that was laying around in somebody's attic. And they said, hey, my relative died and they had been involved with this. And here it was. So it was just a great thing for us.
Absolutely wonderful to have those kind of things in the archive. And when I talk with performers such as Pam Tillis, who was very nice, I did the interview with her, and she was very gracious and coming in, very excited about being here. And I talked to her. I said, I know you've performed on lots of historic stages. You've performed at the Grand Ole Opry and the Ryman and all of these places. I said, I get when I'm on that stage at the Calumet Theater as a performer, I get a feeling for all of the people who have been on that stage before, all of the wonderful musicians, all of the famous actors and actresses who have been on that stage. I get a sense of that history. Do others have that sense, or am I just weird?
Well, it's funny that you brought it up, because Pam seems to be a real history buff. And she wanted to go up into the second balcony so that she could look around. She even mentioned it during her show.
Yeah.
About the miners that would be up in the second balcony and come straight from work and be able to see the show from up there. When we took her in and to see the pictures, the John Philip Sousa pictures and from the program, and the picture of Douglas Fairbanks Sr., who, of course, when you look at him, you think of his famous son, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., with all the pirate movies and Robin Hood and stuff that he did, because they look exactly the same. But just to see the joy on her face when she's looking at it. And then she was looking through some of the displays, and I didn't even have to bring those things up. And she said, Sarah Bernhardt was here, and Lillian Russell was here. And just to hear that joy, to know that she appreciates what has come before her. And of course, with her history, how could she not?
Yeah.
But those people that have been at the theater, and how it thrilled her that they were in this theater performing, you know, and it didn't seem like she was saying, and I get to perform here too, as much as it was like, I can't believe I'm in this building where these people were. And of course, we're all going, we can't believe Pam Tillis is in the building.
Yeah. Although I think that for a lot of performers such as her, I talked with her publicist about this a bit, who said, Pam loves to perform in these historic venues because they are so intimate, you know, and she was at the point in her career, she was doing stadium shows. And, you know, it's one thing to do a stadium show with 60,000 people out there, but it ain't exactly an intimate venue. And I think a musician like Pam Tillis and a lot of others, myself included, we prefer that kind of intimacy where the audience is right out there and you can relate to them. And she certainly did.
Well, that's exactly the word that we like to use to pitch this, you know, and the fact that she didn't come with a full electric band with all of the things that go with that. Now, certainly she can do that, and as you said, she can fill a stadium with great music, but to have her and the two women that were with her perform on that stage, and, you know, of course, my favorite seating is front row on the balcony.
Mine
and
too.
And it feels like you are right in the living room with them. As they are playing, it feels like you're right there. That's exactly the feeling that we like to tell people about. But if you come to the theater and watch a show, it's like they're performing for you because they're right in front of you.
How do we reach out and get somebody with that much name recognition? Because I have watched the price of concerts bringing performers in skyrocket over the last 10 to 15 years. It's very, very difficult to, first of all, attract anybody up here because we're a little bit off the beaten path, so to speak. And secondly, you've got, what, maximum 650 seats you can sell? If somebody's charging you $25,000, you can't do it.
Well, and that's exactly the dance that we have to do. You know, when I came back to the theater last year, and we were getting the doors open and we were getting people in. So we were using a lot of local stuff and a lot of tried and true things like dinner and a movie and that sort of stuff that was low risk, but that went along with low reward. But we were keeping the lights on and we were letting people know, hey, we're back and we're making an effort and we want to be your community theater, you know, and bring you up in the front again. So then this year we were looking for acts, and that price point that you're talking about was certainly a bit of sticker shock for me. I did a lot of the researching for bands when I was the tech director there about 10 years ago. So I kind of remember the prices that bands were coming in at. And you are exactly right. This year we looked at a band that was touring and we knew that they were going to be in Illinois. And we thought, well, that's a close one for us. And we reached out to them and they were $25,000. And it's like, well, you know, we can't do that. There's no way to hit that price point without having $75 to $100 tickets. And you can certainly attract some people with those prices, but you're not going to get enough in to really make the mark and not lose money on a show like that. We looked at another one. Kansas was touring this year, and we thought, wow, you know, you pitch it as a small venue and, you know, getting back to the people and that kind of stuff. And they basically said, you know, well, $50,000 is as low as we can go to play anywhere.
Yeah, so, you divide that into 650 seats, and your cost is about $85 per seat, and then you've got to cover your expenses over and above that.
Oh,
the math doesn't work.
It just doesn't. And people do say, and I still get people that will call me all the time and say, hey, hire so-and-so because I know they play for very little money because we saw them play such and such a place. And it's like, okay, and maybe their tickets were $25, but you saw them play in a place that held 2,000 people.
Yeah.
And they're going to charge them $50,000 just like they're going to charge us $50,000. So again, the math that you're talking about makes it seem like they play for a little bit, but if you're in a place that has the population of, even if you want to look locally, Milwaukee or Chicago or something like that, the numbers allow them to drop those prices or the other amenities that they have. You know, we do have to compete, and we know it, with the casinos that are around in Upper Michigan, Lower Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin. But they offer a lot of the things that are kind of hiddenly attached to their ticket prices. People get to see their shows for a little bit of money, but that's because the casinos know they're going to stay there, and they're going to eat there, and they're going to gamble there.
Yeah, yeah. The gambling underwrites the cost of the show, so they don't have to make money on the show. They'll make it in these ancillary things that they offer.
Right.
The other thing that you can do sometimes to get a cheap show is if you're between Milwaukee and Chicago, and they're in Milwaukee this weekend and Chicago next weekend, you can sometimes pick them up for cheap on Tuesday night or Wednesday night as they're traveling through. But that doesn't work here either.
Well, that's what we did with Glenn Miller this year, and that's how we could afford them. Is the, if you remember, they were on a Tuesday night. They were the 11th of July on a Tuesday night. And that was one of the things. I saw that they were playing at Big Top Chautauqua over in Bayfield. And they were there on a Saturday night. And I got a hold of their agent. And I said, you know, is there any chance maybe we could pick them up on Sunday and get in? And they actually dragged me out for about 2.5 months as they go, oh, we're almost there. We're almost there. We're still working on routing. We'll get it for you. We'll get it for you. And finally he says, okay, we got it. And I thought, great, we've got them on whatever the Sunday was after that, Tuesday. And he said, so it's Tuesday night. And I said, what do you mean it's Tuesday night? We talked to, you know, for 2.5 months we've been talking about Sunday. Oh, no, well, you know, the other shows we booked, it's Tuesday night for you guys.
Okay.
So I said, okay.
You take what you can get.
Yeah, you take what you can get. And that's how you get some of those in there. So it's all about routing. A lot of these acts that do tributes to different bands, that's exactly what happens. We have to look at that radius that says, you know, how far away can we expect someone to drive for this show and not choose somewhere else to go that's got the same show. So we'll team up with the Ironwood Theater or the Braumart Iron Mountain or the Crystal Theater, and we'll try to find acts that will play both places because, you know, people will drive for an hour and a half, but they're not going to drive for 2 to 2.5 hours to see a tribute act, perhaps.
Right.
Some might, but a lot won't. So we team up with them, and I'm doing that now. I'm looking with the Crystal Theater, and we've put a bid in for a Woodstock tribute show for next summer.
Oh.
And they'd be the same thing. They'd play in Crystal Falls one night, and they'd play up here another night. And so you got the boundary being, well, you know, if people are living in Covington, they're going to go to Crystal Falls. But if they're living in Launce, it's a 50-50 shot where they're going to go. Depends on the kind of night. So that's how we kind of have to decide, you know, who can we team up with. Now, with Pam, she played the night before us in Iowa. And then she got back on the bus right after our show and took off and was back in Nashville. So we were able to get her kind of out of the route, but that was one of those little weird setups. You know, you asked me how you find things like that. And, you know, earlier this year, I had called an agent in New York that handles a number of big name acts. And it's kind of funny, but, you know, I got one of those. I said, hey, you know, probably the most we can spend and keep our tickets at $55 a piece or less, and make just a couple of $1,000 ourselves if we're lucky and we sell a lot of tickets. There's not much room for error here. And when I told him the price of 20, he said, you know, with COVID, bands are trying to make their money up, and oh, I got a real bad connection here. So I called back, and his secretary answered clear as day, and I said, oh, it looks like we got broken up, you know. Can you hook me back up? And I went straight to his voicemail, and I never heard from him again. So he didn't even want to talk at a band that was less than $20,000.
No.
So then we're struggling. So I said, all right, well, let's see what we can pull in. And, of course, you remember we had Head East back in June.
Yeah.
Well, Nate Jones, who's the operations manager at the theater, was tour manager for Head East for years. And I said, Nate, we got to get a rock group. What do you think? And he knows a lot of the other bands, and that's kind of how we, you know, even reached out to, Foghat and some of these other bands who are going, no, sorry, we don't have an opening on a tour, or here's how much we cost, and it wasn't affordable for us. But he did reach out to Head East, and they said, buddy, you know, it's for you, we'll do it. And they came up within a price range that we could afford. Well, kind of ironically, the same sort of thing. If you remember back at the beginning of June, we did a group out of Nashville called Mia Brown and the Nashville Hitmen. And that's 70s music. And with that one, the producer of that whole show and the fellow that's producing Mia Brown, Mark Oliverius, was a high school friend of mine. He grew up in Crystal Falls, graduated the year behind me, went to Michigan State just like I was doing for different things, him for music, and I ended up out of there in education. But he went straight from graduating from Michigan State to playing with Mickey Gilley for 10 years. He wrote a hit song for Joe Diffie, played with Lori Morgan for about 15 years as her tour manager, her keyboardist. He wrote songs with her, all that kind of stuff. So when he approached me about, hey, what do you think of this idea I have of to get this young lady's name out there, we come around and we do all these 70s hits and call it that 70s music. He said, would you hire me? I said, sure, Mark, that sounds like a great one. Let's do that. So I had him set up. So since I had already been talking to him about that sort of thing, I said, but Mark, I'm trying to get some big names in here this summer and just running into walls right and left. Do you have any ideas for me? And he said, well, he said, I think I do. He said, let me call you back. And he got back on the phone with me the next day, and he said, well, I'll tell you what. He says, since I've played and everything, and I'm friends with Pam Tillis, I called her at home, and I asked her if she would play for a friend of mine at the Calumet Theater, and she said yes.
Oh, my word.
And that's how we ended up with Pam Tillis and at a price that we could afford.
It's all who so, you know. I'm talking with Jay Mackey.
It is who you know.
He is the executive director of the Calumet Theater. I have been very encouraged, Jay, to see the number of community events now back in the theater. There was a while where it seemed like a lot of those had been kind of frozen out, but this summer you've had the movies, you've had this series of free concerts, midweek concerts. There's another one, the final one, I think it is, coming up this Wednesday with Uncle Pete's All-Star Review, and they are wonderful. 7:30 this coming Wednesday. It's been great to see the Calumet Players coming back. They're going to be doing the Addams Family musical before too long. Great to see that theater open back up to the community again.
Well, thanks. You know, we do pride ourselves on being a community theater, and one of the things with last year when we were just kind of getting rolling was that we were very proud that we had about a dozen shows last year that were free to the public and to the community, and we're really trying to make that bring that to the forefront again as part of our mission. So in the past, when we were doing summer programming, a lot of times we tried to get Michigan bands, and we would be pulling up bands from Ann Arbor and Traverse City and things like that. And we were finding that without a lot of grant support, it was very difficult to get in some of these bands because they might be a local band where they're at, but if we're bringing them in here, they're still going to cost us $2,000. And if you're trying to do a band like that, and like the math we were doing earlier, if...
Yeah, and the
you know,
problem...
You only have 50 people come in, you can't do the numbers.
The problem with a band like that is, yeah, they don't necessarily cost a ton of money, but if nobody's heard of them, it's really hard to sell their tickets because, and they may be wonderful, but we don't know who they are, and we tend to respond to somebody whom we know who they are.
Right. So when you get 50 people coming in and you got to lay out that kind of money, you're just losing money on the shows. So we're really fighting with ourselves going, how can we keep affordable summer entertainment coming in where we can charge $10 a ticket and have something come in? But, you know, throughout the course of me being here for the past year, people have been asking me, local bands are asking me, when can we play at the theater? Man, we'd really love it to play at the theater. When can we play there? And it's like, well, you know, I'm not quite sure when I can fit you in. And it just kind of came to me that, you know what, we are a community theater. Let's get people involved. And we've said, well, I'll tell you what, I can make a spot for you to play if you're willing to play for tips. And we just open it up by donation. So whatever comes into us comes in, and we both get to fill our needs. We get to do a community show, and they get to play at the Calumet Theater. And it has really worked out well. It's been received very well. And we're having great bands that are here. Some of them are coming from as far away as Ohio or Wisconsin, but a lot of them are the local bands that you're talking about. Uncle Pete's Keweenaw Bluegrass was there last night to a great reception. Steve Jones has played there. Bob Hilton and has played. Rewind has played there.
Yeah.
And the people are coming in and responding with that. And I think, indeed, if we were hiring a band from out of the area for $2,000, we would have been in the hole for all of these shows. But this is something that, you know what, we get enough money in donations that it keeps the lights on, and it allows people to come in and tourists to come in, because we get people that walk in and go, is there anything going on at the theater? And we can say, we've got a free show tonight. Come on in and enjoy the theater.
Yep. And the more people you get in, hopefully you build the repeat performance out of that, the repeat engagements out of that, people keep coming back, and you get a chance to kind of promote some things that are coming up. And I want to make sure that we do that as well before we run out of time here, Jay. Let's talk about some of the things that are coming up. Mentioned, of course, this coming Wednesday, as we're broadcasting this on Sunday morning, then Uncle Pete's review at the Calumet Theater. The 60s Mania show that's coming up on September 6th, that's a Wednesday evening show, a little bit unusual. I mentioned in the intro to the Pam Tillis concert, though, I put together the ad for that. I listened to their stuff and saw their video online. These cats are good.
Yes. Yeah. Great, great stuff. And they do a couple of different performances. Some of it is the 60s rock. Some of it is that they do a Beatles set. I think it's going to be a mixed set for us. But, you know, as we were talking earlier, Todd, this is exactly one of those things that we routed them in with other local theaters throughout northern Wisconsin and the UP. And that's why they're here on a Wednesday.
Yeah, because they work out of Vegas.
They're out of Vegas. That's right. But that's a way for us to afford them, is to partner up with different theaters in the area so that we can bring acts like this into the Calumet Theater for the people here to enjoy it.
So that's 60s Mania coming up on September 6th. We've got the Paul Family Bluegrass Band, which the First Baptist Church in Calumet is putting together. That's coming up just a couple of nights later on September 8th. So that's a little bit different style.
And they are a great show. They were here, the First Baptist Church brought them in last year as well. And I'm a big fan of bluegrass. Of course, Keweenaw Bluegrass, I'll give them a shout out again, was playing for us at the theater.
I love those guys. Love those guys.
Yes. Yes, and the Paul family do just a great job, and they're amazingly talented when they're out there. And that being presented by the First Baptist Church is a free show. So just like we're talking about stuff in the community, there you go.
Yep, the Addams Family Musical, the Calumet Players are putting that together. They always do such a great job, and that will be the last weekend in September and the first weekend in October. And,
correct. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the last week of September, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the first weekend in October.
Yeah, with that last Sunday being a 2 o'clock matinee, the rest will be in the evening.
Right.
It's a hilarious musical. It had a great run on Broadway, and the Calumet Players always do a really wonderful job with that. You do have a fundraiser coming up, and real quickly, tell me about that.
On the 23rd of September, we have our annual gala fundraiser. And that's gone through a couple of versions of itself in the past so many years that we've been doing it. Sometimes we have had businesses donate things, and then we would auction them off. We kind of had the silent auction of just friends of the theater bringing things in that we could auction off. And last year when I did it, I decided to kind of make it, and I called it to people our unapologetic fundraising dinner, where we have a themed dinner. Last year was a 70s theme. This year it's going to be a Hawaiian theme.
Uh-huh.
And people can either buy it by the plate, and we're getting it. It will be catered by the Bonfire this year. They did a great job coming in and doing the Henrietti fundraiser that we had at the beginning of July. Wonderful food, so we're looking forward to them. So you can buy a plate for $60, or you can buy a whole table. A table of six for $500 or a table of eight for $400, so you get $10 a plate off. So we don't really make any money when it comes to the fact that we have to pay for the food and pay for the decorations on that part. But what we're trying to do is get people in the door, and then we can give them that unapologetic pitch that says, you know what, we don't want to just ask you for money. We want you to see some of the things that are needed here at the theater, and some of the things that might have a little special meaning to you. And then perhaps you could put some money towards those events, or not events, but projects that we have.
And directed as you see fit to something that works for you. Jay, we're out of time here. I got to wrap this thing up. We could go on for more and more, I'm sure. But you can find out about all of these shows and the fundraiser at CalumetTheater.com. And I certainly, like I said at the outset, I'm glad to see all of this activity at the theater again. And everybody I talked to at the Pamtilla Show was equally glad. And thank you for the work that you and the board are doing there. And we'll touch base again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you, Todd. We appreciate you. And we appreciate all the help that we get from you, letting people know about our show. That's a huge boost for us. We appreciate you very much.
It is our pleasure. Thank you.